Greetings and welcome back to this course on self-care. This is a course where we're hopefully learning to take care of ourselves so that we can do the best we can for God during the life that He gives us. And so far we've been looking at a variety of things, but last time we looked in particular at the idea of time management. And in fact, you will remember, I suspect, that we looked at this quadrant that Stephen Covey, quadrant of time, that he developed in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, I ended last session with a consideration of what should go into quadrant 2. In other words, quadrant 2 are those things that are important. They need to be done, but they're not urgent. And so we often don't get to them. In fact, we tend to spend most of our time in quadrant 1, which is the urgent and important, those things that we need to do in order to further ministry or in order to help people. And so those are the crises, the pressing problems, deadline-driven products, projects, meetings, preparations, etc. And then we spend too much time in those things that are not important, but they're urgent. Things like telephone calls, interruptions, mail, reports, meetings, etc. Some of those things can just be so distracting. In fact, I had a brother who served 32 years as a missionary in the Philippines. And at one point, he became the director of ministries for the Asian part of his organization. And he was at one time in a retreat house, got there early. He was leading a retreat for missionaries in Japan. And he was reading a book, which was about people who changed their lives when they found out they had less than 2 years to live. And he read through the whole book, stayed up all night, and then the morning he wrote his resignation letter. Because he said to his superiors in the organization, you know, if the world was going to be won by meetings, Jesus would have come years ago. And he went back into church planting up in the mountains of the Philippines. It's that sort of thing. We can get caught up in a bunch of stuff that distracts us from quadrant 2, what is not urgent, but it's vitally important. So we talked a little bit about what should go into quadrant 2. Now, today we're going to continue that conversation a little bit, only with a different slant. We're going to talk about goal setting and management of your goals. Now, if you're going to be somebody who is going to be effective in your life and ministry, you have to know about goals. Here's a definition. The dictionary definition is the object of a person's ambition or effort, an aim or desired result. In other words, it's something that says, this is what I want to do. I like the way Edwin Locke puts it. A goal is an idea of the future. In other words, we're here now. This is where we're going. It's an idea of the future or desired result that a person or a group of people, in a ministry perhaps, that they envision, they plan, and commit to achieve. That is the definition of a goal. It's something you're looking ahead to, you want to achieve by yourself, individually, personally, or as a group within a ministry. Now, having said that, I have to say that there are advantages to being a goal-making and keeping person or organization. In fact, all kinds of studies have been done. Time does not allow me to refer to them here. But studies that have been done that show that people accomplish more in their life, they are more effective, they tend to be more successful in whatever they do if they set and maintain goals. Now, here are just some of the benefits of a goal. First of all, it's a blueprint for performance. If you've ever seen a house being built or a building being built, and you know the person who's doing it, or if you've built your own house, you can look at a blueprint. The blueprint tells you what the thing is going to look like, right? And it tells you the feet that are going to be in each room. It tells you what's going to be on the inside of each room, what the roof is going to look like, and what kind of materials are on the wall. The blueprint tells you everything you need to know, everything the builder needs to know about building that house. And so a goal is a blueprint for performance. It tells you how you are going to go about accomplishing big goals in your life, purposes in your life, missions in your life. It's also a basis for feedback. It's something you can give to other people, and you can then get feedback to tell you, yeah, that's going to work. That's a good thing. It focuses your attention on the right agenda, the quadrant two stuff, and it can be a basis for cooperation and teamwork. If you are in a ministry and you are building a team around that ministry, or you're part of the team, the goals will help you cooperate better. They'll help you identify how to move the organization forward and its criteria for decisions. There's, you know, we talked about boundaries. It's a criteria for saying, yes, that's something I want to do. Or no, that really isn't important to our mission. And we're going to talk about all that today. Now, the alternative to setting goals and planning to reach them is go with the flow. Now, that sounds really good, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like the thing we should be doing in our world today. Not get so upset, not be so anxious. Go with the flow. And sometimes you have to do that. Tomorrow, I'm flying from Michigan to Seattle. My oldest grandson is going to graduate from high school, and we're going to go there, but we're flying standby. Now, I've done that once before, and I've got to go with the flow. I know that I cannot control whether I get on a plane or not. It all depends on whether the seats are full or not, and if they're full, then I have to wait till the next flight of that particular airline that we're flying. And that's going with the flow. You got to sit back. Don't get too upset. You just sit back. You read a good book. You watch something on your computer. You work on something. You go with the flow. But going with the flow can be a very destructive thing, or distracting thing maybe is a better word. I thought if I couldn't find a picture of canoes. But when I was thinking about going with the flow, I thought about the time that my wife and I went canoeing down a river with a couple from our family. And things are going well. You know, you go with the river, you don't have to paddle a whole lot. You can kind of, you got to steer, but the river takes curves and the flow takes you with the curve. And unfortunately, they lost one of their paddles. One of them had the paddle slip out of their hands and the paddle went down the river following the flow. From that point on, they kept getting distracted. Going with the flow let them, ran into the bank one time and, you know, had to push off with the one oar they had left and try to get back into the flow of the river to get where they wanted to go. They didn't want to sit on that bank. They wanted to be at the end where we were going to get out and we're going to have ice cream. And the next time they ran into a tree that had fallen and branches had gone over the river and they couldn't avoid it because they were going with the flow and the flow went under the tree, so they went right into the tree, caught. Once again, spent an inordinate amount of time trying to get out of that catching of that tree. Going with the flow will often get you into all of these distractions. Whereas goals, you direct the ship, the canoe. You follow the strength of the current. Because you're heading somewhere. Goals give direction and focus. They tell you how to use your time, what to give your attention to, what resources are going to follow. Now, there are a lot of places in your life where you can set goals. Here are some of them. Your health and wellness. You can set a goal for exercising regularly. Say, I'm going to exercise 3 times a week, and then you're going to have to fit all kinds of strategies into that. Where are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? Are you going to join a health club? But the goal is, I'm going to exercise 3 times a week because I'm going to get in shape. Your finances. You want to save money in order to buy a house or to buy a car or to do something. And so you've got a goal. Now you have to figure out how to get there. The goal will maybe have you cut back on some expenditures so that you can set money aside for your goal. There's relationship goals. In your family, you want to spend 3 dinners at night together home, or maybe you want to go on a vacation together, and you set these goals, and then you've got to figure out how to reach them, how you talk to everybody. Ministry goals, I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Education goals, I want to get this degree. And now that you set that goal, well, where are you going to go to school? What courses are you going to take? What are you going to focus on? And then, of course, there's personal development goals. You know, you want to learn to play the piano, or you want to learn to ski, or you want to learn, you want to read X number of books about various subjects, or you want to improve your leadership. Those are all kinds of personal goals. Now, personal development goals. Now, in the rest of this time, what I want to do is just focus on some of those aspects of making goals. How do you make a goal? And what is a good goal and what is not? Now, a reminder again of what a goal is. It's an idea of the future. It's a desired result that a person or group of people envision, plan, and commit to achieve. So how do you go about setting an appropriate goal in your ministry or in your personal life? That's what we're going to look at. The first step to setting a goal is to determine your reality at present. One of my heroes is now with the Lord. It's a man named Max Dupree. He was the CEO of a very successful office furniture company in our area, and I got to meet him, but he wrote a couple of just great books on leadership, one of them called Leadership Jazz. But this is what he says about defining reality. He says, the first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. The last is to say thank you. In between the two, the leader must become a servant and a debtor. That sums up the progress of an artful leader. So defining reality. Where am I now? Now, if you're looking at personal goals, how do you define your present reality? Well, you'll look at yourself. You want to get in shape to run a marathon, let's say. That's your goal. Well, then you look at where am I now? You get out and you start running and say, how far can I go? Well, it's only so far. You can only go a mile and you're done. Well, you know you've got some work ahead of you, so you begin some strategies. You follow, or you get with other people, or you follow a preparation for running a marathon plan, and that will get you to your goal. But you've got to define reality. Where am I now and where am I going? Remember, Bill Hybels used to say, just he would define it here, this is where we are, and then he'd say, then, where are we? And now, what are the steps to get there? So that's for personal goals. Define the reality. For ministry goals, you have to do the same. You have to define, where are we? And that's pretty tough, because you've got to find some criteria to measure where you are as you think about setting goals, as you dream about the future of what the ministry could be. And in fact, this is maybe one of the hardest steps in setting appropriate goals for yourself or for your ministry. Tom Rainer is a consultant, written many great books, and I recommend it. It's T-H-O-M and then Rainer. Excellent. But he says in a lecture that he gives on this subject, he says this is the hardest thing when he's called in as a consultant to a church. Hardest thing is to get them to see reality. Where are they right now? In fact, he says, I've gone in so many churches, and I'll stand up there and I try to tell them what their reality is as a result of the surveys we've taken, as a result of the studies we've done of that church. And they'll look around and say, well, no, things aren't that bad. And I didn't quite believe him until I did this myself. I was kind of an in-house consultant for a couple of years with the church. And when I got there, I began to help them find out what their reality was. Got a master planning team together of influential people in the church. And we began to look at their life as a church. And we began to do this before we were going to set meaningful goals for the future. So, for instance, here's one of the things I showed them. This is a graph of their church over the past 20 years. This was in 2020. And you'll notice I graphed their professing members, in other words, adult people who had joined the church, who had professed faith in Jesus Christ. In this church, they baptized infants. And so the red line shows their baptized members, how many there are over the past 20 years. And then the green line is the total of those two things, professing and baptized members. And the purple line is of their worship attendance from 2020 to 2019. Now, if you look at that graph, what does this tell you about their reality? It's not good, right? And I remember I did this with the master planning team, and then I began to spread the information. I met with groups of leaders, groups of people, and then just invited the congregation to one final large group where everybody was informed about the future of the church. And we looked, and I had divided by the names of the pastors. Who were the pastors there? During that 20 years, they had had five different pastors. And so their average length is 4.5 years. And anyway, we plotted that all out. And I said, now, if we project this reality into the future, how long do you think it'll be before you're dead? You'll notice that children line in particular. This congregation was getting older, and they hadn't realized it. They knew that the pews were emptier. That was pretty obvious. When you go from just a little less than 600 to a little less than 200 in worship, and even a little more than 100, you know pews are emptier. But they said, okay, I don't see it. And others said, there's no hope. The purpose is to define reality. What's reality like? Well, you go from that, defining reality, to start looking at the future. In fact, imagining the future. Now, if it's personal goals you're looking at, there's a couple of ways to do that. In fact, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey has you imagine in his chapter on, you start with the end in mind, is the title of the chapter. In other words, effective people start where they are, but they start with where they're going. And at the beginning of that chapter, he has you imagine that you are viewing your own funeral. I mean, this is the big goals of life, right? The big directions of life that you set. Imagine your own funeral and listen to what people say about you. And so you use your imagination. It's a realistic look at yourself. What are people going to say about you when you die? Another group does it by having you imagine that you won the lottery and you now have, $20 million at your disposal. What will you do with it? That's a study in figuring out your values as you try to figure out where am I going in my life. But it's imagining the future. Imagining the future. What is the future going to be like? If it's for your ministry, imagining the future means you've got to write a mission statement. What are we doing? And why? Where are we going? And is God leading us? What are we going to do to get there? That's how you go about setting goals. So that church that I gave you the graph of a few minutes ago, the master planning team developed a mission statement. And their mission statement was a CPR. They recognized they were dying, so we need CPR. And the C stands for connecting people to God and to each other. P was preparing people to live in this complex world the way Jesus taught. And the R was we're going to refresh faith in people who have been beaten up in church. And then we began to develop goals, all that. But it's a mission statement that says, yes, this is where we're going. This is where we want to be. So you do all that, and then you set goals. If you are setting goals for a ministry, you imagine the future there. How do you do that? Well, you do it by writing a mission statement. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Now, the mission statement is to say, this is where I'm going to focus my energy. Helps me cut off things that aren't going to be relevant to that ministry. Where are we going? Or where is God leading us? Those are the kind of questions you ask in a mission statement. The group that I worked with at church that had the downward trend for 20 years, they came up with a mission statement. And they said their mission statement was to connect people to each other and to God. And then they're going to prepare people to live as Jesus taught in a complex world. And they're going to refresh the faith of people who've been beaten up by the church or beaten up by the world. And so they began to put that, that net over everything in the church, looking at every program, saying, does this help people connect to God or to each other? Does this prepare people? Does this refresh people? And that helped them set their goals. And so you spend some time doing this, and if you need to have some training in how to set those goals, there's plenty online you can get by saying, how do I write a mission statement? There are some wonderful resources there. So that's part of what we do. And then you set goals. Now, some word about setting goals. Here's a goal-setting process. You create a clear statement of where you want to be, that future you want to reach. You break it down and make a plan. I'll talk about that in a moment more. Prepare for challenges, monitor progress. You evaluate, reflect on the goal, and then you celebrate success. Now, when you set a goal, it needs to be SMART. Now, this is an honored way of doing it for years. It's got to be specific. The more specific you can make your goal, the better it will be. It must be measurable. In other words, there's got to be some number on it that will help you say, yes, I've done it. I've reached this goal. It's achievable. In other words, it's something that's within the realm of reality. It's relevant to the mission that you're on, and it's time-based. It's within a certain amount of time. For instance, I was part of a group once that set a goal to plant 50 new churches of our denomination in Southern California in 10 years. And we looked at that. Is that specific? Sure, 50. It's measurable. It's 50 new churches. We had to say for the specific part various kinds. In fact, we even identified which ethnicities we were going to focus on. Is it achievable? That was a good question because the previous 10 years we planted 2 in our denomination in Southern California. Is it relevant to our goal? Yes, because we had a mission statement that said we are there to encourage established churches to reach out more effectively and bring more people to Christ, and we were about planting new churches that would be evangelistically oriented. Is it time-based? Yes. 10 years. Now, we reached that goal in 7. But anyway, that's the content of a goal. It's got to be smart. Now, once you get there, here are some thoughts for you to put behind it. Just some study here. Is this a smart goal? I want to reverse the decline of this ministry by the end of this fiscal year. That was something of that church that we set that had CPR as their ministry goal, as their mission statement. And is that specific? Well, it is. It is measurable in that you know where you are and, okay, how are we doing? Is it achievable? That's a question. Is it relevant to their mission? Yes. Is it time-bound? Yes, it's by the end of this fiscal year. So it's by their fiscal year actually went from January to December. And so we plotted out for the fall specific tasks to do to support that goal. How about this one? I'll train 30 new leaders in this ministry year by recruiting, then having weekly training events for new leaders. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-based. How does it stack up? We'll improve our spiritual health quotient by 30 points this program year. That was a goal in my last church I served full-time before I, you know, was kind of semi-retired. We had been part of a spiritual health program. It was called Reveal, and we looked at our own church, and we did some testing that showed where we were in the spiritual quotient. In other words, our mission statement was where we exist to help each other take the next step in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We developed 4 different steps, and we wanted our points to go up in various areas so that the overall quotient showed that we were growing by 30 points, and yes, we did it. All of those are just to say, here are some goals. Then you've got to create an action plan. Who is going to do what? When are they going to do it? Where? How are they going to do it? What resources is it going to take? All of that, we used to call it a strategic plan. In other words, you're creating strategies toward that goal. Now, if you've got a personal goal to run a marathon or something like that, or to change your diet in this way, you say, okay, how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to join this group. That's the strategy. They're practicing their training for a marathon, and they run 3 times a week, and I'm going to join them at 5 a.m. to get ready to run this marathon. That's kind of an action plan. If you're going to try to turn a church around, like the one that I had in the graph, they began to look at all their programs. They started with their Wednesday night program, and they created an action plan to turn things around there. They dropped down to like 30 people there on Wednesday nights and said, we're going to double that the next year. And we created action plans toward that, and it was a year-long goal, and actually we reached it in three months. And so action plans. Here's how I'm going to promote children's ministry, how I'm going to promote adult ministry, etc. And then everybody within the team begins to set their responsibilities, their goals, and share them together. And then finally, you get it on the calendar. You write down when you are going to spend your time on your goals. That's all part of quotient 2, the important, but often not urgent. And so put it on the calendar. This is when I'm going to be working on this. That's important because, you know, if you're just going with the flow, every interruption will take you away from your goal planning, goal achievement. And so you've got to be able to say to somebody, no, I can't do that right now. What is urgent for you is not urgent for me with that thing. And so I've got to do this. I have a commitment at that time. So all of that is part of setting goals. And then after you do that, you do regular checkups, accountability, coach people within your organization, etc. So that's a brief view of a very important self-care thing, to set goals for yourself in your own development, physically, financially, spiritually, etc., and in your ministry. God bless you to do that. Join me next time as we continue to explore these things about developing goals, becoming a place and a person that glorifies God with how you use your time. We'll see you next time.